God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Thank you, Brother Clarence. And we also give praise to God for the team from Malawi that brought us this special song. We shall be fruitful in the land. God has commanded us to arise and to shine. Shall we pray together? Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we give you all the praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration at this time. We thank you for giving us another space to press on with these Bible studies. Thank you for our panel discussion last week and how you guided us as we're looking at what it really, really means to be the salt of the earth. And today we now come to this new chapter. You are the light of the world. We're asking, Father, that you will open our understanding. You will speak clearly to us. And as we go on with the study, let there be simplicity. Let there be faith so that your word will mix with faith in our hearts. And let there be an impartation. We remember to pray for all our brothers and sisters in different parts, those that are meeting together as a group, those that have adopted this as their own weekly Bible studies, and those that only sit in their families to follow this on the various platforms, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on the MixLR, whether it's on a Facebook or Telegram or whatever means by which this is being sent forth. Lord, we pray that you meet all of us at our point of needs. And as we fellowship around your word today, we ask that again you be the Lord over our lives. We ask that your word will mix with faith in our hearts. And that disciples indeed, will multiply all across the globe so that the worldwide move of your spirit, this midnight cry that you are raising to prepare your church for your appearing, Lord, you will cause it to happen all over the earth. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. For we have prayed together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I'd like us to take note that today we are starting the chapter 12 of our book, The Kingdom Lifestyle. Kingdom Lifestyle. And we have been coming along for this length of period, and we are now in chapter 12, You Are the Light of the World. We just finished in the last chapter the issue of being the salt of the earth. So today we are going to have an introduction of what it does mean to be the light of the world and how does God want us to function in this particular way that God is pointing to us. And for our discussions today, Brother Clarence, Brother Clarence from the U.S. is assisting us to coordinate and at the same time to read scriptures when we so have a need. And then Sister Becky from Belize will be assisting us in reading scriptures. And then Sister Sherry from Canada will also be joining us as the Lord will help us as we go on together. Now, so our basic text, again, for this particular day, you know, we have been coming through Matthew chapter 5, and we've been coming since the beginning of this kingdom lifestyle. We are now in verse 14. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 5 from verse 14 And I would like Sister Becky, if she's ready to read for us, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 14 to 16, just to pick it up at that point, and then we start our own discussions. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Sister Becky, if she's there, can you come on?
Good morning. Matthew All 5. Right. And 5?
Yes. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16.
Okay. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him.
You are in John. You went to John 5. We want you to go to Matthew 5.
Sorry. Yes. Verse 14. Matthew 5, 14 to 16.
Yes.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. In heaven. Thank you very much. Now, the first thing I want you to note as we read that scripture is the fact that the Lord said, you are the light of the world. And the little introduction we put there said, Jesus did not say you are like the light of the world, but that you are actually the light of the world. This is our calling, and this world without the children of God will actually grope in darkness. So this today, as we begin to study, what does that mean when the Bible says you are the light of the world? What does God mean? What is Jesus expecting us to become when he says you are the light of the world? And to pick our readings, because our first issue is you are the light. I want to look at the characteristics of light so as to be able to understand what is God calling us. What is God expecting the disciples to be? What is he asking us to become as we study this time? So we're going to pick some few scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 5, Brother Clarence. And John 5, 35. Let's ask Sister Sherry to get ready for that. Ephesians 5, 13, Sister Becky, you will help us to pick that. And Brother Clarence again, you will come back on 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And I will read Isaiah 60 from verse 3. Maybe I would like to read from verse 1 to 3 so as to give it a shape. Let's pick John chapter 1, verse 5. John 1, 5.
John
Clarence?
Yes, sir. I think John 1, verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Wow. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or did not overcome it, or did not overwhelm it. All right. John 5, 35. Sister Sherry?
Yes, sir. King James. He was a burning light. He was burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Amen. Mm.
All right. Thank you. He was talking about John the Baptist there. He was the burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Ephesians 5:13, Sister Becky now.
Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light.
Okay, thank you for that. All things that are exposed or reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. All right, thank you. 2 Peter 1:19. Brother Clarence again.
Yes, sir. 2 Peter 1:19 says.
Yes.
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Mm. Until day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts.
In your hearts. These are very good passages. Then I am asked to read Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 from verse 1 to verse 3. Though verse 3 is our focus there. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So our question, what we want to deal with in this first section, is what are the characteristics of light? What are the characteristics of light? How do we identify what light is? And there are a few things that we're going to see from the scripture that we've read and now all the various summaries that have been put together for us. Now, when you look at John 1 verse 5, John 1 5, the first thing that was striking is that the Bible said the light shines. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The light shines in the dark. And darkness does not have capacity to overcome, to overwhelm, or to comprehend the light. So the first thing we are noting is that light has the characteristics of shining. And actually, any light that does not shine is not light. There's no other way to define light unless it shines, unless it illuminates. So the first thing we're noting there is that light is quiet, but it shines. And actually, good light does not make noise. If you have a bulb that before it brings out light is a humming or is making noise, you know that that particular bulb is about to die. Correct light only shines. They don't make noise. So that's the first thing we are noting. Light shines. It may not shout, but it shines. Right. And the John 5:35, Jesus was particularly speaking about John the Baptist. And he said, John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. And you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So again, we are noting there that light, apart from shining, it also burns. But let's note that it is the burning that actually gives light. Every time you see a filament bulb, if you look at it closer, you know that that filament bulb is burning. But as it's burning, that is what makes it to glow, to produce light. When we come to discuss what does that imply for us as New Testament believers and disciples, because he's saying you are the light of the world. We're going to be talking about that. But the first thing that is very clear is that we are seeing that this light we are talking about, we can say that somebody is light. They said John was a burning and a shining light. So it's possible that we are talking about light that is a personality, light that is personified, light that shines. They say it was a burning and a shining light. So you are willing to rejoice in his light even for a season. And then we see another character of light in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, as we read it. It said, but all things that are exposed, all things that are made manifest, or all things that are revealed, the Bible says they are made manifest by the light. They are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now, it said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. So what does that say quickly? Light reveals. Light brings something to light. Light exposes. Light will show you what is the true color of things or what is the true shape of things. Light, when the light shines, it throws out onto the limelight for anybody to see what is actually there. So the Bible says anything that is exposed are made manifest, they are exposed by the light. Let's quickly know that darkness does not expose. Actually, what does darkness do? Darkness covers. Darkness obscures. Darkness will not let you see what is there. But whatever manifests, whatever makes things manifest, whatever makes things to come out clearly as it is, the Bible says is light. Now, I want you to take note of all of what they are saying, because we are going to be applying it to what is Jesus saying when he says, you are the light of the world. So we are noting now that light make manifest. Light shows the true color of things. Light will help us to see things for what they are. And light would be the one that would just show, oh, so it's like this. Whatever makes manifest, the Bible says, is light. It's light. But whatsoever, we're going to read that later on as we go ahead. And then 2 Peter again gives another characteristic of light. And I want you to please come with it. That 2 Peter chapter 1 was saying that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So we again see that light does not only shine, it shines in the dark. And it can increase in intensity. It can grow, it can expand in terms of its intensity. It said, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your heart. But what was touching me is the fact that when he said we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you will do well to take it to as unto a light that shines in a dark place. So it means that a light can actually be emanating from the word of God. Light can be coming forth from the word of God. He said it shines from the dark and it goes on and on until the day and until the day star is formed in your heart. And finally, the Isaiah 60 said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Again, I just want to note here that the word of God began to note that light attracts. Light can draw people to come. It says, "And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of thy rising." Which means when a light begins to shine, it draws attention. It draws people. Anybody who wants to see, anybody who is looking for direction, they will come there. Light attracts. Light draws men. And light actually is a manifestation of a divine visitation and a divine light. So we're going to take note that that's all the first. We just wanted to have that characteristic understanding of light. We said it shines in the dark. It does not necessarily make noise, but it shines. And when it shines, darkness cannot comprehend it. So we want to know that no matter how little light is, darkness can never overcome it. Whenever there is light, darkness cannot comprehend it. If there's one light now, darkness will quickly disappear, because light and darkness, they don't stay together. So let's quickly read the notes that we have kept under that section. And so let me ask Sister Sherry to pick the note and read for us. Sister Sherry?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
"Light is quiet, but it shines wherever it is, and it attracts people. No matter how thick the darkness is, light overpowers and drives away darkness. Wherever you see darkness prevailing, whether in a home or in a community, it is either because there is no light there or the light is not shining."
All right. That's the first point we have raised here now. That light, even though it's quiet, it shines wherever it is, and it attracts people. So, and we are noting that light has the capacity to overcome and overpower darkness. And light has the capacity to drive away darkness. I want you to imbibe that in your spirit as we are going on. And so wherever you see darkness prevailing, whether in a home, whether in your family, or in a community, in a school, anywhere, it is either because there is no light there, or the light that is there is not shining. If you say you have light and the light is not shining, or you kept it under the bushel, you have already defeated the purpose of light. Light is put on in order to shine. There's nothing again that light does than to shine, and to shine in the dark. Right, Sister Sherry, please go ahead.
Yes. "Apart from shining, light also burns. Touch a lamp that is lit, and you will experience the burning property of light. Anyone who comes where there is light will not only see clearly, but may also receive a mark if he comes into physical contact with the light."
Right. So light not only shines, but it burns. And that when you come near a lamp that is shining, it can transfer heat to your life. So what we are saying is that light not only shines, but it has capacity to make a mark in the life of those who come near it, it burns as well. Right? Let's try. Go ahead, Sister Sherry.
Moreover, light reveals, exposes things that are hidden. Something that is hidden only if it is in the dark. And no matter how much you look for it, you may not find it. But bring in light, and every hidden thing becomes exposed. People only succeed in hiding their sins as long as there is no light to expose such sins. As soon as light comes in, their sins are revealed, because light shines in upon their sins and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light.
Thank you. That is a Living Bible, verse 13. Ephesians 5 from Living Bible. Say, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. So what light does every time is that it reveals, it exposes things that are hidden, things that are lost. Light, when you bring it, it tells you to reveal where they are. Now, but if there's no light, what is lost, you may never find it, no matter how you try, because there's no light, you are in the dark. A darkness cannot actually reveal darkness. Darkness can only be, things that are kept in darkness can only be revealed or exposed when there is light. Now, we are noting that whenever you see people hiding their sins, it's because they are hiding it from light. It's because there's no light to expose such things. But as light comes in, sins are revealed. And because the light that shines upon their sin and shows it up, when they see how wrong they really are, some may even be converted. What we are saying is that before darkness can be dispelled anywhere, light has to shine. And there's no other panacea for dealing with darkness if there's no light. Darkness does not understand anything else apart from light. So whenever God wants to deal with darkness anywhere, he says, let there be light. People that are sitting in the region of darkness now, if God is going to do anything for them, he must send light unto them. Right, thank you. Thank you, Sister Sherry. Now let's go to the number B under number one that we are studying. We're looking now, discuss practically what God is asking us to do as the light of the world. What is God practically asking us to do as the light of the world? Before we pick all the passages that we have put in there, I want you to note that the passages we have been coming with, they gave us some little insight, what God wants us to do as the light of the world. Number one, light is of no use unless it shines. Light is of no use unless it dispels darkness. Light is of no use unless it helps people to see where to go. Light that does not help you to discover your direction is of no use to you. Light must shine. And so Matthew 5 that we started reading said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let me ask Sister Sherry to read Matthew 5 again. Matthew 5 verse 14 and up to 16. What does God expect us practically to do, you see, as the light of the world? 14?
Matthew 5:14-16.
Yeah.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Thank you very much. He said, no one will light a lamp and put it under a bushel or under a basket, because the essence of light is for it to shine. The essence of light is to give light. If you have a lamp and you lit it and only to keep it under the bushel, you are wasting it. So let's again quickly know that one thing that God is practically requiring, if we are the light of the world, is to shine, is to dispel darkness, it is to bring direction, it is to show men what is wrong in their lives and show them how to come out of darkness, how to come out of their predicament, how to come out of their struggles. So if light does not shine, or if light that is shining is kept under a bushel, as if you have kept it under, a basket, and it is obscured and covered, you have wasted that light altogether, because it has no particular use unless it shines. And it's not shining just to himself. It shines to give light to everyone that is in the house. So the Bible says, let your light so shine. And I'm so touched that he said it must so shine before men, which means it is men that need our light. It is men that need direction. It is men that requires to see which way they must go in their life. That's why they need light. And he said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. Because if you are going to be a light that gives light to everywhere, you've got to be set up on a hill or on a lampstand. All right, so we're going to now pick all the passages and look at what we are talking about in this space. How do we discuss practically what God is asking us to do as the light of the world? Can we turn and check Matthew 26? Matthew 26, 69-73. Sister Becky, you are the one to read now. Matthew 26. Then Luke 24, verse 32, we have Brother Clarence to pick it up. And then Acts 8:17-24, we'll go back to Sister Sherry.
Okay.
Matthew 26, verses 69-72.
Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man.
Can you add 73 to it?
And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee.
Wow. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. If you are light at all, you cannot be hidden. And we're looking at Peter. Maybe he didn't know that he's already shining. Maybe he didn't know that there's no how you can stay with Jesus, who is the light of the world, and the light has not rubbed on you. So the Bible said, you know, he had to pretend. He had to do a kind of undercover to be able to sit down among them. But then a damsel came unto him and saying, you also, you are with Jesus of Galilee. We know you. We have seen you there before. Peter denied before them all, saying, I know not what you are saying. I don't know what you are saying. You know, when you want to be diplomatic, you try to do as if you don't understand what they are saying. They say you are with Jesus. I say you don't know what you are saying. How else would they know? Will you know what they are saying? They are not speaking Greek. They are not speaking big English. They just say, you also, you are with Jesus of Galilee. So when he said, no, I don't know what you are saying. So he went out into the porch. Another girl met him. And they said, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, I don't know the man. But that's to say that we're expected to shine the light and not to hide it. We're expected to identify who we are and not to try to be unlike ourselves. You are the light of the world. All right. Luke 24, 32, Brother Clarence.
Yes, sir. Luke 24, 32 says, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened scriptures to us?
Did our heart not burn within us as if no matter where light goes, you cannot ignore it. You cannot say, I don't know about it. And light shines, and darkness could not comprehend it. Now let's have Sherry to now read Acts 8, 17 to 24 for us. We're just illustrating of practically what is God asking us to do as the light of the world.
Acts 8, 17, 24. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 23. And I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Amen.
Wow. You see what light can do? Light will reveal to bring out the wicked intents or motives of the heart. And that's what we are seeing in this passage. Now let's ask Sister Becky. Sister Becky, can you pick the summary that we have under that number B as we read it gradually on?
Amen.
Sister Becky? Yeah.
Having seen the characteristic of light, it is clear that as the light of the world, we are to shine.
Yes.
As light, we are like a city set on a hill. We cannot be hid. By divine arrangement, God ensures that we are situated in a place where all eyes can see us. Just as everyone who lights a lamp normally puts it on a table so that all may see by it. God expects that by our lives, people around us should not walk in darkness. It is a heavenly calling. You must shine.
All right. Before you go ahead, so you note now that as light, we are to shine. There's no other reason why you are the light if you are not shining. And if God has done everything to light this lamp and to put fuel in it so that it can glow brightly, it will be a waste, a colossal waste, if it is not shining or if it is kept under the bushel. It will be a waste of everything. So first and foremost, brothers and sisters, God wants you to shine. Not to shine the light and trying to hide it is to contradict the purpose for which God has called you and given you Christ, who is the life that is light. Now, God will place and position you. So I want you to know that even now, where God is placing your life, He's placing it strategically because He wants you to shine. You may find yourself in the midst of crooked and perverse people. It is because light needs to penetrate that darkness. We don't need light where there is light. Light is only useful where there is darkness. God expects that by our lives, people around us should not walk in darkness. It is an heavenly calling. We must shine. You have to shine. Sister, go ahead.
Please note that whether you shine or not, you are a city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. Even if you decide to dim your light so that it does not shine, you cannot be hid. Everyone will know you as a Christian whose light is not shining bright, and that will not be to your advantage. Luke 9:26.
Let me quickly read Luke 9:26 before you go ahead. Luke 9:26. Luke 9:26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So what are we noting there? Whether you choose to shine or not, the Bible says you are the light and you are set on a hill. You can't be hid. Now, if you choose to dim your light and to compromise with the darkness around you, it is still clear that here is a man who is supposed to shine the light, who is supposed to show us the way, but he has compromised. Whatever makes you not to stand out there to shine for Christ, is it because you are ashamed of him? Is it because you are feeling that this way of Jesus is too outmoded, and you want to be modernized, you want to be in the good books of the world system? That's why you are lowering your light. The Bible says you are a city that is set on a hill and you cannot be hid. You must shine. Right, sister, go ahead.
Peter dimmed his light and backslid. It was only by the mercy of God that he was restored. You must shine your light.
You must shine your light.
We must not only shine, but burn. Our lives must leave a burning mark in the hearts of people who come in contact with us.
May God help each one of us. You must not only shine, your light must burn. Our lives must leave a burning mark in the hearts of people who come in contact with us. As they listen to you, as they walk around you, their heart is burning because light is shining there. Light is saying, but look at this. Look at the contrast. Look at your life is not correct. Look at how to be a man. Look at how to be a husband. Look at how to be a child of God. Now, all of that, we must be a light that is not only shining, but is burning. We are glowing. There's something of God's fervency in your spirit that is making your light to so shine. Go ahead, sister.
As Jesus spoke to two brothers on the road to Emmaus about how right and scriptural it was for Christ to be crucified and to rise up the third day, their hearts burned within them. There was an impact that his speech made on their lives to burn off the dross of unbelief and fear from their hearts. And when he broke the bread and gave them, their eyes were open and they knew that it was the Lord himself that spoke to them. So also our lives and character do to everyone around us until Jesus is made real to them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Peter's life brought the hidden sinful character of Simon the sorcerer to light. The bitterness in his heart was exposed and he begged to be prayed for. Sometimes men may deliberately hide their sins, but some actually may not know their true sinful situation. However, by our lives and our walk with Jesus, we should reveal it.
Mm.
We would be a disappointment to Jesus if we convened with sinners to hide their sins.
Mm.
We automatically become partakers with them of their sins. But by all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Mm. For whatever maketh manifests is light. Whatever hides is darkness. Ephesians 5:13.
All right. Wait, before you come to the last point, which we are going to spend a bit of time to look at. Now, we are noting particularly here that our lives must not only shine, but must burn. You need to have a life light that is shining and at the same time is burning. That when people touch your life, they should burn. When somebody comes near your life, something should happen to them. They should not be going as if nothing has happened. They should not be behaving as if they didn't meet anything. Now, we are going to be praying particularly on this because Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And if we are light of the world, there must be an impact that your life is making wherever you are. Is your life shining in the office where you are working? Is your life shining to the students where you are a teacher? Is your life shining in the community where you are a trader, or where you are a preacher, or where you are a pastor? Are people taking their bearing because they see your life? Are they seeing your good works to such an extent that they were giving glory to our Father, which is in heaven? We saw that just because Jesus walked with these disciples, they said their heart was burning within them. They couldn't remain the same again. Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, we also noted that Peter, by his life, he brought the hidden sinful character of Simon the sorcerer to light. Now, nobody knew him. He had been misbehaving, he had been deceiving people. He had been making people to feel that he's a big man and that he's one someone who is very great. Though he repented according to what we read when he heard Philip preached. But when Peter came, there was an intensity of light that reveals who he was. And his sins came out straight away. The bitterness in his heart was exposed. He begged to be prayed for. And we're noting that sometimes people may deliberately hide their sins, but some actually may not know their true sinful condition. However, by our lives and by our walk with Jesus, we should reveal it. Now, I'm looking for us to read that Ephesians chapter 5. There are several versions I think we should try to read to give us understanding. Ephesians 5, we're reading from verse. Now, instead of reading from verse 13, can we read from verse 11? Let's read verse 11 quickly. Now, we're reading from King James. Does anybody have good news among us? Is there good news? Clarence, you have good news? Oh, you have good news. Read it for us.
Ephesians 5 from verse 11.
Verse 11, good news, yes.
Have nothing to do with the worthless things that people do, things that belong to the darkness. Instead, bring them out to the light. It is really too shameful even to talk about things they do in secret.
Okay.
Verse 13. And when all things are brought out to the light, then their true nature is clearly revealed.
All right. When things are brought clearly to light, it is then their true nature is clearly revealed. Now, thank you for reading that. Can anybody get Revised Standard Version for me? I want you to check RSV and NIV. Is there any RSV, Clarence?
Yes. All right. The version. Okay, let's try this. Okay, from 11 to 13.
Yes, sir.
Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, yet expose them. It is a shame to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when it is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light.
Anything that becomes visible is light. All right, thank you. Thank you. I'm still looking for another version. Let's check. Wow. Does anyone have Amplified Bible here to help us read?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yes.
Okay, Amplified from verse 11
verse
to 13. 11. Do not participate in the worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. For it is disgraceful even to mention the things that such people practice in secret. Verse 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light of God's precepts, for it is light that makes everything visible. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. So we're noting here particularly now that as the light of the world, first, God is saying, you cannot participate in the fruitless works of darkness. Light, when light is anywhere, it overwhelms and overcomes darkness. For any one of you that is supposed to be the light of the world, to now begin to participate in the things of darkness. Bible says you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those that are born of light. And we have said that light shines. Light exposes. Light manifests things for their true color, for their true nature. Light does not... Light cannot compromise with darkness. And any light that is not shining to dispel darkness is not a correct light. It's not a correct light. And so this evening, as we are looking at this particular section, I didn't want to move too fast so that we can get to where we are going to stop properly. But I think we may go a little further than where we are, and then we stop to pray. But I want you to first note here that if light does not shine, the purpose of that light is defeated. If God has made you a lamp, He is looking for a lampstand where to keep you. God's intention for every disciple that Christ has come into his life is to make them the light of the world. If Christ has stepped into your life and you have experienced the new creation life, and you have been victorious, you have been delivered from the power of sin and the old nature, but permit me to tell you that God has no other plan or agenda than for you to shine. And unless your light so shine to dispel darkness, you will not be fulfilling the reason why God has so much shown you grace. Now, are you truly the light in your environment? What about the things that you are hiding in your own life? Because darkness cannot stay with light. If there's light, darkness has to go. But if you yourself are supposed to be light, you are now having things to hide. It means there's a bit of darkness with you, because that scripture says anything that covers, anything that hides is darkness. And anything that exposes, anything that brings things to their correct light, that is the light. So you can't say, I don't know whether I'm light, I'm not light. You can't say it like that, because light shines, light exposes, light makes manifest, light gives direction, light brings conviction. It shows sinners what is wrong in their lives. Not because we are shouting at them, but because we are shining the light. We are shining the live light. Now, if your own light has been kept under the bushel, and you hide it, you compromise, you don't want people to know that you're a child of God. He said, if any man is ashamed of me here on earth, my Father, when I come in the glory of my Father, I will also be ashamed of him. Now, Sister Becky, can you finish what you are reading for us?
Amen. Are you truly the light in your environment? What about the things you are hiding in your life? Has your light shined enough to bring people to Christ? What are the things that you make that make you dim your light? Pray now and get rid of them before they get rid of you and your candle is removed from its candlestick. Revelation 4 and 5, would you like me to read that?
Can you read it for us? Revelations 2, 4 to 5.
Yes. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Wow. Except thou repent.
So, brothers and sisters, God expects you to be the light. But if you yourself, that you are supposed to be a child of God, you are the one contributing to darkness in your environment, and you are supposed to be a pastor, but you yourself, your activity is that of darkness. There are things that you are doing that you don't want people to see. Are you the one fondling with girls in the choir, and you're a choir mistress, choir master or something? Don't you see that darkness itself is taking hold of your life? We're going to read a scripture, because I think for today, I'd like us to stop at this and take our time to pray and take our time to turn to God. So that when I come on this again, we will be deliberately looking at, so how do we go? If we are saying the Bible says you are the light of the world, why does the world need light? And if the world is in darkness, which we are going to see, my first question is for you. What are you doing? Is your light shining? Are you yourself walking in the light? Or are there some iota, some little areas of darkness that you are also dealing with and covering? Anything that covers is darkness. Anything that you are doing that you don't want anybody to know you are the one doing it, that is darkness. If there's anything you are doing, anything you are talking that you don't want your husband or your wife to know about it, brother, I must say you are walking in darkness. There are some of you that when a phone rang, your phone just rang. As soon as you see the person who is calling, you run away. You run quickly somewhere. And I wonder what you are running away from. Is that discussion what your wife should not hear? Is that discussion what you don't want your husband to know about? What activity of darkness is that? We want to check with you. He said you are the light of the world. But if your light begins to grow dim, or you are beginning to lower it because sin is also creeping into your life, he said you need to beware lest I come to remove your candlestick from his place. God wants to place you honestly on the lampstand. God wants to place you where men will touch the reality of the grace and the power of God in your life. It is in God's interest. That is why God is working on us. All the Bible study we are going through over this time, God is doing all of that to lighten your life, to make you a shining light. And he intends that you will be an answer to the darkness that is in the world. Now let's take the first section under number 2, the light of the world. Why does the world need light? We take that and see whether we can stop at that point so that we can take time to pray today. And then if there are other issues that our brothers want to raise, we can do it together. Why does the world need light? Because the Bible says you are the light of the world. It is very significant. I did not say you are the light of heaven. Because when we get to heaven, there will be no darkness there. So why does the world presently need light? Now let's go now. Brother Clarence, you will help us to see into Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2. And verse Proverbs 4:19, we will ask Esther Sherry to please read that for us. And Esther Becky, 1 John 5:19, we want you to check it for us. And then I will be asking Brother Clarence again to go back to Ephesians 6:12. And in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12, we will read it from one or two versions. And then Philippians 2:15, Sister Sherry again. Can we try? Isaiah 60, we're saying, why does the world need light?
Amen. Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
And the glory of God shall be seen upon you. Behold, darkness, the darkness shall cover the earth. And thick darkness or gross darkness will cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Gentiles will come to your light. Right? Proverbs 4:19, Sister Sherry.
Yes, sir. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble.
The way of the wicked is like darkness. It's as darkness. They don't even know at what they stumble. They are going up and down. They are stumbling. They don't know what they are stumbling at. Because the way of the wicked is darkness. And when you begin to backslide, the Bible says the way of the backslider is also dark. Every time you no longer keep in step with Jesus, the truth of the matter is that you are walking to darkness. You are in darkness. The way of the wicked is dark. He doesn't even know at what is he stumbling. He needs light. Yes, 1 John 5:19.
1 John 5:19.
Yeah.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
The whole world lies in wickedness. Now, Ephesians 6:12.
Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
Mm. Can you repeat it? What version did you read?
Brother Billy, I'm at this hotel in Los Angeles, so I got this Gideon Bible, so that's what I have right now.
All right, read it again.
Okay, all right. I said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly
places. In heavenly places. Sherry, can you try to read it from the Amplified Bible?
Yes, sir. Amplify says, for our struggles is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Amen.
Thank you. Let me get that from Philip's Modern English. Philip's Modern English of that verse says, I want to read it now. It said, for our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world. Spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. That's what we are contending with. Principalities and power, they are the rulers of this present darkness. They are the despotisms, principalities. They are in their ranks. But all of these powers, they are all engineering darkness on the earth. So the question we are trying to deal with is, so why is God saying you are the light of the world? Why is God saying we are the light of the world? Let's pick Philippians 2:15. Sister Becky, can you try to read Philippians 2:15 for us?
Philippians 2:15.
Yes.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world.
All right. All right. So can I put it to you now? Why does the world need light? Because God is saying you are the light of the world. And we are saying that if you are not here, the world will stumble. They won't even know what they are stumbling at. The whole world lies in darkness. And the powers that is ruling this world, this world system, they are the agents of darkness from the very headquarters of evil. So when he says you are the light of the world, I want you to know that that's a very big calling. That's something that God is raising us up to do. I'm not rushing this because by next week, as the Lord will permit me, I will be spending critical time on looking at what does God want us to do as our calling when he says we are the light of this world. We may bring in some few more issues as we study. But the first thing I want to settle here this evening is to ask, if the whole world lies in darkness, if the way of the wicked is darkness and they don't even know at what they stumble, and if the powers, the principalities, the potentates that govern this present world, they are the agents of darkness. They produce darkness. They cause things to continuously go wrong on the earth. Several of the things that you think are modern civilization, no, they are the outpouring of the spirit of darkness in our generation. I want you to know the confusion that is going on is darkness. People are changing the natural use of their sexuality to practice things that are not convenient. And when you ask them, it will appear as if they are enjoying themselves. The Bible says their understanding is darkened. They call bitter things sweet, and they call sweet things bitter because their understanding is darkened. If the world system is allowed to go on, it will become more and more chaotic. And so the word of God is asking, you are the light of the world, and you are the city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now, we will ask our brother, Clarence, to read the summary under that number 2A, and I will stop for today.
Yes, sir. Why does the world need light?
Mm.
The whole world is in darkness.
Mm.
Thick darkness covers the people because sin brought men into darkness under the power of the evil one.
Yes.
People grope in darkness so much that they stumble, yet they don't know what makes them to stumble. Were there no Christians in the world, it would have been terrible for people to live in. Men would have helped to destroy each other and destroy the world because they cannot see the way, and they do not see what makes them to stumble, thinking another person is the cause of their problem, not knowing that the mother of their problems is the sin inside their lives.
Yes.
That the mother of their problem is the sin inside their lives.
That's true, sir.
Yes. The light that the world needs in order to live right and not to stumble is us. The light that your husband, wife, children, parents, friends, etc. need in order to be saved is in you. You may not die with your... May you not die with your light without lighting any man in the world, in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's where we're going to stop today, Brother Clarence. And I just want to ask, God is raising you as a disciple to become a solution to the challenge of darkness where you are. Some of you are a teacher in a school, and you can see the recklessness with which our young children, our young students, our teenagers are destroying their lives. And you are wondering, why are you there? You are there. You are the only person that can change their situation. And it comes first and foremost by the life light that shines in you. Now, there are many people that are preachers. They are shouting. They shout, but they don't shine. Darkness does not recognize shouting. The only thing that deals with darkness is light that is shining. Even light that is inside the box is of no use to darkness. Light that you have kept inside the bushel and you are now allowing it to shine is of no use. It's not of no use. Darkness does not fear the light that is inside the box. It is when you bring light up and you put it on the lampstand that darkness begins to run. I want to put it to you before you go today. Is your light shining? But before we can go to ask whether your light is shining or not shining, have you caught the life light? Are you yourself light or you are presently in the dark? He said, you were sometime dark. You were sometime darkness. But now you are the light in the Lord. Have you been converted? Has Jesus given you light? Has he lightened your life? Or you are still struggling with the old human nature, which itself is darkness? Are you still living that life of hypocrisy? Even though you carry Bible here and there, but you are an hypocrite. You are darkness. Are you still living a life of hatred? The Bible says, he who hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He doesn't know where he's going. Men that are in darkness, they stumble. They don't even know what they are stumbling at. As we stop here, we have seen that the world needs light. Children need light. School children, they need light. Teenagers in our secondary schools and those that are now got into the tertiary institutions, you can see that without light, they are groping. They are groping into more and more problems. And Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. You know, when we were dealing with the last chapter, I said, you are the salt of the earth. We were noting that these are critical reasons why God has led you here on earth. If you are not fulfilling that particular role, then you are not fulfilling any role. If you are not dealing with darkness and curbing and pushing darkness out so that light can shine, then you are not living for any correct purpose. If all you did was you woke up, you look for food to eat, and you sleep, and you wake up again, and no life is being affected by your life that is shining, then you are living to no purpose. So as we stop here for today, trusting God that when we come back next week again, we'll press on where we are stopping now. The world is in darkness. In fact, every child that is born into the world by a woman is born into darkness. It's only when somebody is born again that the life light, the light of life, can begin to be made manifest in his life. So today, let's ask two questions. You are listening to me. Have you ever been enlightened? Have you received the light that is life? Or you yourself, you are still in darkness until now? Or are you yourself still, you know, just playing about? I would like to ask you to pray, Lord, if I'm supposed to be the light of the world, don't allow me to become darkness. Don't allow me to become an empty darkness that is only adding more darkness to people. Now, but supposing God has even spent time to lighten your life, but because of the fear of environment or because of compromise, you have kept your light in the bushel. You have kept your light under the bushel. Will you need to pray now and say, God, I don't want to be ashamed of you now. I need to rise up and shine. I need to allow men. He said, the whole earth is in darkness. And they grow up in darkness. Thick darkness has covered the people. And the Bible said, God will rise upon you. God will rise upon you so that you can become an answer to your generation. When we come back next week, and I'm now dealing with how we are going to fulfill this call. How are we going to confront darkness and bring light to shine? We can be dealing with that by the grace of God. But today, would you like to pray and say, Lord, don't let my life be a waste. Don't let me be in the world and yet nobody is being affected. Don't let me live in an environment and yet I can only contribute to the darkness. Lord, I want to be the light that you are calling me. I want to shine so that men will see the good works you are doing in my life and they will give glory to our Father which is in heaven. I want you to please join me to pray as we conclude this Bible study today, trusting that God will move us forward when we come next. Shall we pray together? Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, this day we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of again your word coming to us. You are the light of the world. It's such a very strong declaration you are making to us. You are the light of the world. The entire world is in darkness. The world of children, the world of music, the world of movies, they are all governed by the prince of darkness. And you are saying, if you don't shine your light there, the world will perish. They will stumble, not even knowing at what they stumble. And so this day we plead with you, set us in motion. Put us, Lord, on that hill. He said, you're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, anything that wants to lower or to compromise the light that we ought to shine to our generation, we want you to deal with it. We want you to take it out. We want you to help our lives. As our brothers and sisters may be praying, some are saying, I'm not sure I have light because me, myself, I'm groping in darkness. Let the light shine upon their lives. As they open their heart to ask you in to have the exchange of the life of darkness for the light, which is Christ Jesus. I'm asking today, O God, that you will reach out to them and help each one that is calling upon you in this manner. Those, O God, who through fear and compromise, they have kept their light from shining and they have kept it under the bushel. They are now under a box and they have somehow buried the light in their heart. Please, Lord, revive them. Call them back again and cause them to arise, never to be ashamed again, to stand for the truth. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for this Bible study today. Now, when light shines, darkness cannot comprehend it. We now want to again ask, let there be light. Everywhere darkness has reigned, let there be light. In families where darkness seems to want to grow and engross them, let there be light. Lord, our children that are walking in darkness, who are backsliding and they are walking in dark ways, dark alleys, this day, oh God, let there be light. Let your light so shine upon their lives and call them out. Manifest the true nature unto their lives that they may turn and turn to you. Thank you for hearing our prayer today. We have prayed together in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.